Okay. Good morning to you. I hope that you all had a blessed day. And I hope that God's been good to you this week. I know He has. He's always good to us, isn't He? No matter what happens in our life, God's good to us. He says that in Romans 8:28, doesn't He? All things work together for good. All things. Everything. So we praise His name. If you'll turn your Bible to Isaiah 43, we have a one Sunday message, not an extended message. I won't extend it. I'll make sure we get through with it. Do remember those on our prayer list, please. And always pray for them. They need prayer just like everybody else. Can I start that Facebook? I don't know about it or not. Nope, I got about 15 things going on here. Hey, it's okay. I'm just getting older. You know what I mean? I forget a lot of things. And we're starting to get a lot of, since I started putting it on our church site, the recording, and then sharing it over on my page, we're getting a few more views from around the world. A lot of them in Philippines, places like that, we get a lot of views. So I'm starting to enjoy it. Don't know how our website's doing. The counter that they have that I print out has stopped. It stopped on like the 6th of the month and hadn't recorded 1 minute since. And maybe wonder if we can get any, but I know we are. People tell me they go there. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 43. And verse 25, well, let's start with verse 22, where the Lord talks to Israel about their failure to worship the Lord properly. He says, "Thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offering. Neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifice. I have not ceased thee to serve with an efficient offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, and neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. Thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities," the Lord said. He goes on to say in verse 25, this is our text scripture. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Lord's wonderful to us, isn't he? No matter what we do in this life, God's going to forgive our sins. In fact, he says, I will not remember thy sins. And I saw this and I thought, wow. I always think, wow, with the Lord, because the Lord always wows me with what he does. I can go through this life, I can not do things properly for the Lord, I can sometimes fail in the things I try to do for the Lord, but the Lord never fails me. Every promise God has ever made to Israel or Gentiles or churches or anybody else, God has always fulfilled his promises, hasn't he? And he will fulfill his promises when he says to Israel, he says, I will not remember thy sins. This is one of the most precious scriptures to God's people. That he will not remember our sins. The word blotted means properly to stroke or to rub away or to abolish or destroy thy sins. That's what the Lord means when he says he'll blot them out. Albert Barnes says this, and I was always wondering where my father-in-law got this. He always preached this with this kind of message. And I always wondered, where did he get that? I never did ask him. Well, he got it probably from Albert Barnes, because he repeats the same thing here. Albert Barnes says this metaphor is taking from the custom of keeping accounts, where when a debt is paid, the charge is blotted or canceled. He goes on to say, thus God says he blotted out the sins of the Jews. He canceled them. And God said, I will remember them no more. Now, Brother Hannah used like a wall, and he would say, this is where the old doorkeepers would keep their account. They'd write it up on the wall, and when you come pay your debt at the end of the month or 2 months or whatever it was, they would take and block that off. And they didn't remember anymore if you even had an account that was due. That's the way the Lord is with our sins, isn't he? Go to Isaiah chapter 38, if you will. And let's read here about Hezekiah. And let's start in verse 2. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will add unto thee 15 years. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord just keeps blessing us, doesn't he? How would you like for the Lord to come and tell you, I heard your prayer? He does. He may not come and literally tell you that. He may not tell me to come and tell you that. But the Lord does hear our prayers, doesn't he? And the Lord answers those prayers as his will is for us, isn't it? So then, stay right there, because we've got one more scripture there. Then Hezekiah said unto him, in verse 17, Hezekiah said, behold, for peace I have great bitterness. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Grace is wonderful, isn't it? The Lord is wonderful, isn't he? You know, one sin will send us to hell. We cannot enter the kingdom of God with one sin. Not one. Not one. Not even the smallest of sins can we enter heaven with. We must be pure, perfectly clean. So the Lord says he cast them behind his back. This grace is not only extended to the Jews only, but also to the Gentiles. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, if you will. In Ephesians chapter 1, one of your favorite passages, it is mine. If you haven't read it lately, go read it. It's just a blessing to read, to understand how the Lord chose us and how he saved us and why he saved us. All of this is in chapter 1. Every bit of it. But he says, we're going to read verses 4 through 7 of Ephesians 1. He says, according as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. See, that's what he's doing. He's not remembering our sins because they've been forgiven. He cast them behind his back. He cast them as far as the east is from the west. He's cast them into the sea. And they're like a grain of sand among the bottom of the sea. They'll never be found again. That's beautiful, isn't it? Let's move on with that scripture. That we should be holy and blamed without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, listen, wherein he made us accepted in the blood. Listen. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. The word forgiveness means freedom, a pardon, or deliverance from sin. Let's go now to the book of Hebrews, if you will. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verse 12, the Lord says, "For I will be merciful unto the their unrighteousness." See, the Lord don't have to be unrighteous. He don't have to be merciful to the unrighteous, does he? God don't have to do anything. Listen, God doesn't have to do anything. He owes us nothing. He owes nobody nothing. But the Lord says here, "I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." This is not just the Jews, but also saying to the Gentiles. Now go to Hebrews chapter 10, if you will. A couple chapters over, and we read this in verse 16 through 18. "This is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and their minds, and in their minds I will write them." Listen closely. "And their sins and iniquities I will remember no more." Now, where remission is, there is no more offering for sin. Because their sins, no more offerings needed, is it? We don't need any more offerings for sin. Jesus' blood cleanses us from all sin. Therefore, we don't need any more offering, do we? You won't ever need any more offering. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross and gave his blood to cleanse us from all sin. And God accepted that blood payment as payment in full. Therefore, blotting out, pardoning, cleansing, wiping it totally out, our sin debt, and they will never be remembered again. That's beautiful, isn't it? It's beautiful to think about and to ponder on the fact what God has done for us before the foundation of the world. Remember, before the foundation of the world, before creation, there was nothing but God. And you know God do everything? God didn't have to look into the future and see that people were going to sin. God already knew when he created them, he already knew they were going to be sinners. You know why? Because he created evil in Satan. And sent Satan, he knew they would surrender to Satan. He knew it. He knew Adam and Eve would do exactly what they did. Before he ever created them. I can't say before he ever thought about creating them, because God never thought about anything, did he? How could the God that's omnipotent ever have to think about anything? God never thinks. He don't have to think. God already knows. And he knew before the foundation of the world he was going to forgive our sins. He knew we would sin. He knew he was going to forgive them. And he knew exactly how he's going to forgive them in the Lord Jesus Christ and through his blood. You're in Hebrews. Go over to chapter 9. So the question here is, how does an omnipotent, omniscient God ever not remember our sins? You ever thought about that? The God of the universe, the God of creation, the God of all, the God of everything, the only single God in existence, the God that has omniscience, and cannot not know anything, and cannot forget anything, how does he ever not remember our sins? That's what we're going to look at this morning. The thought dates back to eternity past and will never change forever for anything. He will not change. The Lord did not change when he forgave our sin, pardoned them, blotted them out. and don't remember them anymore. God chose not to remember them. They're still there. You know how someone, think back in your life, there had to be somebody, I can think of probably 100 that I betrayed the trust and tell them that I forget their sins, and we're not going to worry about this anymore. And then a year, 2 years later, I remember it. And first argument we have, I bring it up. It's happened to me multiple times. But I'm a sinner. God doesn't do that. When God says he will never remember them again, take his word for it, he will never remember your sins. Past, present, and future. Because all your sins was washed by blood Jesus. That's how God does it. God doesn't actually forget them because God can't forget, can he? That's a change, isn't it? God can't change. There's no backward shadow turning with God. God, who cannot lie, promised before the foundation of the world. So God chooses not to remember, therefore he forgets them in our way of thinking. Notice in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. For Christ is not entered into, verse 24 of chapter 9, Christ had not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, and now appeared in the presence of God. Listen for us. See, when Jesus Christ died, was buried, rose again on the third day, mingled and visited with the brethren for a little while, was seen of, 500 people more, and then went out in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, and witnesses saw him ascend up into the clouds. He ascended up and he sits on the right hand of the Father on high. That's his place, isn't it? What's he do there? He's our Savior. He will always be our Savior. He rose and sits there for us. His birth, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, and his seat was all for us. Because we are sinners. And God will not forgive sin except through the blood of Jesus. So he entered. And now appears in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as a high priest entered into the holy places every year with the blood of others. Christ died once. I think it's Hebrews chapter 4, where it says verse 4 through 6, I think it is, where he says that he died once unto sin and he will not die again. You cannot crucify the Lord over and over and over. If Jesus Christ did not forgive our sins through his blood once and for all, as the scriptures promised, that Jesus Christ did not do his job. And we are not forgiven. People want to think these people of works want to think that they're doing good after they're saved. And I guess they think they never do anything wrong again because they never are saved a second time. You couldn't be. You know why? you'd have to re-crucify Jesus. He'd have to come back, be born again, walk in this world, live a perfect life, and die again. Oh, believe me, if he came back to do it, there's plenty on this earth that would be happy to crucify Jesus, wouldn't they? But he's not going to do it. He don't have to. So he says here, he's not a high priest that has to do it every year. His death, burial, resurrection, his blood shed was once and for all. He says, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Not by the blood of bulls and goats, neither by the blood or blood of goats, but by the blood of the eternal Lamb of God from eternity past, did God accept forgiveness for our sins. To forgive them. And never to remember them again. We may have a problem with not remembering again, but God certainly does not. If God tells us that he will never remember them again, count on that he will never remember them again. Let's go to our first point so I can get done. I may have skipped all this. That was our introduction. So what happens to our sin? We're going to go to 2 Corinthians 5. We must remember how guilty we were and to truly appreciate what Jesus did for us. God could have condemned us as he does the lost. What God has elected to do for us is forgive our sins. And forgive them through Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus, the Son of God, who's also the Son of Man, who knew no sin, became sin for us. He did not just die for our sins, he took our sins upon himself, and that crucified him. That's where I have to disagree with Albert Barnes, one of my favorite commentators. Is he somehow says that Jesus didn't take our sin, but he did. That's the reason he died. Jesus had no other reason to die, did he? He took our sins. He's our sin bearer. So go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, for he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sins, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What did Jesus do? He took our sins for us, didn't he? He buried them. He's a sin bearer. He took them and died for them. Jesus Christ died because of sin. The punishment for sin is death. Therefore, he died not because of his sins, but because of our sins. For he has made him sin to be sin for us. Go to Matthew chapter 20, if you will, chapter 20, verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. What's it mean? He gave his life as a ransom for our sin. His blood cleanses us from every sin you and I will ever have, and therefore God can look at us as holy, unblameable, sin-free, and God can call us children, sons. It is because of this very act of grace of Jesus Christ and of God that God has elected to pardon our sins and remember them never again. God did not forget as we forget, but he chooses never to remember them again. And he won't. Go back to the book of Hebrews, if you will. If it sounds like I'm trying to rush, I am. Taking more time than I thought, but we're almost there. Another 10, 15 minutes, I'll be through. Hebrews chapter 10. So our second point is, it's not only in Christ that our sins can be forgiven. It is only in Christ that our sins can be forgiven. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away our sins. But the blood of the Lamb does. The blood of the Lamb takes away our sins. Once and for all. There is a necessity for sin to be taken away. Otherwise, it would be remembered, won't it? God can't remember. He can't remember. He's elected not to, and God is perfect, holy, righteous, and everything, and he cannot remember them because he said he wouldn't. The truth in this verse is there is no relationship between the physical blood of animals and the man's moral offense. Animal sacrifices are not sufficient for cleansing us from our offenses against God. Took the blood of his own son to do that, didn't it? Go to Acts 22, if you will. In Acts chapter 22, verse 16. And now, while we tarried thou, and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, call on the name of the Lord. A lot of our, what calls themselves Christians, believe that baptism cleanses us from sins, and they use this scripture for that. Does this say that baptism cleanses us from our sins? No. It's abuse of scripture to say that it does. If you only look at this verse, if you look at this verse correctly, there are three separate acts here. First, he says, arise, doesn't he? Second, he says, you get baptized. And the third one is that you get your sins washed away by calling on Jesus Christ. See how there's an and in there that separates them. Baptism does nothing for salvation. Baptism cannot be compared to the blood of Jesus. They're sadly mistaken and will be eternally regretful that they've seen that verse that way. People have to be careful how we look at the scriptures. We have to be careful how we read the scriptures. So if you look at it correctly, there's three different points. Second, notice in 1 Peter, if you will, turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3, and notice verse 21. He says, "The like figure unto even baptism doth also now save us." Listen closely. The explanation is next. Not putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Putting away the filth of the flesh is what it's about, isn't it? Baptism don't do that. These waters in this baptistry, the city of Wake Village, has nasty water to start with. I wouldn't even drink it. I moved here, what, 19 years ago, 18 years ago? Me and my wife go around, we took a sip of that water, we swore we would never drink it ever again. But we go buy a bottle of water. The only way I ever use that water is to shower or to boil something with. And we're going to put that nasty stuff in this baptistry, and we're going to say that washes away sin? I don't even know if it would cleanse your body? I wonder sometimes if it actually cleans your body if you're nasty. So it don't put away any of the filth of the flesh, does it? But the blood of Jesus does, doesn't it? Third, the word baptism. The word does not always mean the act of water baptism. Do you know that? It means immersion. You can be immersed many ways. Let's go to Titus chapter 3, if you will. Fourth, Paul wrote to young Titus these words in Titus chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. He says, not by the works of righteousness which we have done. Stop that for a second. When Jesus was baptized and he came up out of the water, did the Lord not call it an act of righteousness? He sure did. So it's not of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Verse 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Again, baptism does nothing. Don't ever compare it to the blood of Jesus. Phil, go to Ephesians chapter 1 again. And verse 6 and 7. The Lord goes on to say in the passage we started reading a while ago, to the praise of the glory of his grace, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the blood. Not in baptism, not in works, not in anything else are you accepted. You're only accepted in the blood by believing Jesus Christ as your Savior. He goes on to say, verse 7, in the blood, in whom, that is in the blood, in whom we have redemption through his blood. He doesn't say and, does he? No, he says we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So it is through Jesus Christ that we have redemption. And it is the fact that we are accepted is that we have that forgiveness of sin through his blood. Now, if somebody wants to compare the blood of Jesus to a water in a baptistry, I feel sorry for them. It's like people that try to work their way to heaven by works. I feel sorry for them too. Because they're not going to make it. They're not going to be in heaven. If your sins has not been forgiven, if God has not forgotten your sins, if he's not put them behind him, if he has not cast your sins as far as the east is from the west, if he has not dropped your sins into the sea of the ocean as a drop of sand, you're not going to go to heaven when you die. The scriptures have plainly, without question, told us this. Only a poor lost soul would ever compare the power in the blood of Jesus Christ to the water and a baptistry. Jesus was baptized and he did not need to be cleansed. Go to Hebrews chapter 4, our last scripture. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? A couple of things here. First of all, the blood of Jesus Christ is the eternal offering of himself to God to make us without spot and without blemish. By giving his blood to cleanse us from all of our sins. Only in the washing of the blood of Jesus that was spilt more than 2,000 years ago can we receive redemption. Can we be glorified? Can we have peace with God? Can we have hope through faith in that? And one day stand in heaven as children of God because of Jesus Christ. And only through him can we do that. All others are not going to make it. That's the sad news for them. They're not going to make it. Jesus told the great teacher of Israel, of the Jews, in John 3, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again. He never said you must have good works. He never said you must be baptized. He never said you must join a church. He never said you must run around 10 times. He never said you must go over and pass and till the pastor's garden for him. I just threw that in. He never said those things, did he? No. All of it is through Jesus Christ. And the only way God will ever forgive our sins, the only way God will ever, listen, what a beautiful phrase, forget our sins and never remember them again is through the blood of Jesus. He must have taken them as a sin barrier to the cross and died for them. What is the penalty of sin? Death. Death. The only way Jesus could die is if he took our sins with him. He had no reason to die. And the Jews didn't kill him. The Roman soldiers didn't kill him. Anyone else there didn't kill him. Oh, they put him on that cross. They beat him where he couldn't be recognized again. He didn't die of any of that. Jesus didn't die until he gave up the ghost. And then he died. What did he say just before that? It is finished. What was finished? Everything the Father ordained for him to do, it was finished. He completed it. Every second of beatings, every second of being spit on, every second of having his hair plucked, every second of being stripped naked in front of everybody, every second he hung on that cross until God's, his Father's calendar or ordained will, however you want to put it, was fulfilled. He knew the exact time
And at that
exact time when God told him, this is where you will finish it, he said, it is finished. He talked to the Father. He said, it's finished. And he yielded up. The blood of Christ has purged our conscience from a dead work to serve the living God. The sad part is some Christians don't see fit to serve the living God. But we'll conclude with this. So how does God, the Holy God, that is a God that cannot sin, does not sin, will never accept sin? How does God ever not only forgive our sins, but also never remembers them again? He chooses to. He chose not to ever remember them. And he will not. The promise is he will never remember them again. While it is true that God cannot forget anything, he can choose never to remember them again. He is God, isn't he? He can do anything he chooses to do, can he? Therefore, God said, I will not remember thy sin. Grab a songbook and stand with me. Let's sing one verse of 203. I don't know if I know the words of the song. Let me get over there. I love Amazing Grace. Because the grace is amazing, isn't it? On the first. One verse.
Thank you for this.